Blog Talk Radio.
Make us one, Lord, make us one, that the world may know that we are one. Holy Spirit, make us one, make us one. Make us one this morning, Lord. One body, one mind, one faith, one baptism, one God of all. Make us one. Holy Spirit, make us one. Good morning, good morning. This is your host, Apostle Minetta Hare. We are live in the great city of Detroit as we welcome you to our Sunday morning Kingdom in Gathering online church. We pray the blessings of the Lord upon you and your household. We are excited to be back this Sunday. Amen. We send greetings to all those that are listening in, as they say, near and far. We send greetings and blessings to all nations of the world. We send our greetings and blessings to the people of God in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we have been studying out for the month of October, our theme is the unity. Our theme word for the month of October is unity. Just as the song was being played, make us one, Lord. Holy Spirit, make us one. That the spirit of unity would abide in our hearts, individually and corporately. If this is your first time tuning in to the Kingdom in Gathering, we invite you to go to our archives that's available to you 24/7, that you can download our previous broadcasts, our previous programs, our previous message and teaching 24/7 at no cost to you. That is www.radio.com/ the NEW voice, VOICE. And you can listen in to our previous podcast. And so for the month of October, as I said, we have been looking at the word unity. And our focus has been on the victorious church. Amen. The victorious church. The church that Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. That the gates of Hades will not prevail against his church. That is one of our foundational scriptures as we have been looking at the victorious church. Today, beloved, we want to share on church and spiritual leadership, or spiritual leadership in church, the importance. And so as we've been laying out foundational scriptures for you to meditate on, to read, to study, as we are looking at the victorious church that Jesus has established in the earth. And so this morning, I want to look at spiritual leadership and church leadership and the importance in today's church. So grab your Bible, grab a pen, grab a pad, something to write on, something to write with, and then most of all, a teachable spirit. Amen. And so our scripture, one of the scriptures I want us to look at, very familiar passage of scripture, is found in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we are talking about, in this particular chapter, beloved, unity in the church. Unity in the church. We are one body in Christ. And so, the unity, the church, the victorious church, as we have been studying out and dissecting chapter 4, today, beloved, we want to start reading at verse 11. Verse 11, for your hearing. Verse 11. I hope you have grabbed your Bible. If not, you write it down and then go back and read it. But you can follow along with us. Starting at verse 4, I think I'm going to read up to about verse 16. The word of God for the people of God. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's the word of God for the people of God. Amen. If you recall last week, you can go back and listen to that recording and that message, but I talked about the body of Christ, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 through 27, talking about there are many members but one body. Amen? And that each member and each part has a different function, but we all need each other. Amen? And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 through 6, as we looked at all the ones that we are one body, amen, that we are one spirit, that we have one hope of our calling, that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above and through all and in all, amen. So as we looked at the body of Christ last week, today, beloved, we want to look at spiritual leadership, church leadership in the body of Christ, in Jesus' name. Just when we are looking at the book of Ephesians, just some highlights that the purpose of this writing of this book was to strengthen the believers in Ephesus in their Christian faith by explaining the nature and the purpose of the church, the body of Christ. And then we know Apostle Paul is the author and the writer, and he has this letter to the church of Ephesus and all the believers everywhere. So whatever city you may live in, this is a letter for all the believers in your city. Amen. All the churches, the local churches, assemblies in your city. I live in the city of Detroit. And so this is for the churches of Jesus Christ in the city of Detroit. But it's also for every believer in the Detroit metropolitan area, which it is millions of people. And so see yourself as Paul has written this letter during his imprisonment. Paul is in prison, and he's still writing and giving instructions and teaching to the people of God. And the letter was not written to confront any heresy or problems in the churches, but it was sent to strengthen and to encourage the churches in the area. That's what we want to do here on Kingdom In Gathering, online church, for those that are listening in live, those that may be listening in at a future time to the recording, is that you are challenged and you are charged as a believer, as we look at Christian leadership and church leadership, that Paul is addressing the church. And so as we see in the book of Ephesians, as a result, Paul was very close to the church, the Ephesians church. He met elders of the Ephesians church for the last time, and it was a meeting that was filled with great sadness because Paul was leaving them for the last time, and because there was no specific reference to people or problems in the Ephesians church, because the words at the Ephesians or Ephesus are not present in the early manuscripts. But Paul may have intended this to be a letter, a circular letter. You know, now in the 21st century, we have the internet. And I truly believe if the internet existed when this biblical time of Paul's age, he would have used email. He would have used Facebook. He would have used LinkedIn. He would have used Pinterest. He would have used, Periscope. He would have used every form of communication to get the word of God out so that all the churches could hear and receive the teachings that Paul had embarked upon. And so our key verse in the book of Ephesians is found in chapter 4, verse 4. And it says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Amen. And so I want you to picture, beloved, because as we interchange the church, capital C, the church of Jesus Christ, the universal church of Jesus Christ, you can picture the church as it's being presented as the body, the temple, the new man, the bride, the soldier. See, this epistle became a circular letter that was distributed to many of the early churches. And here we are in the 21st century reading this letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. And, beloved, we are blessed by the word of God as Paul was inspired to write, so we would have it today in the 21st century, 2016, over 2,000 years later. What an exciting letter to read, especially for the body, especially for the church of Jesus Christ, especially for the bride. When we think about our churches, they come in all types and shapes. The meetings in the homes, the wide open gatherings in amphitheaters, the worship services pack thousands into sanctuaries while the overflow crowd watch on circuit TV. That's what we have going on today. The handful who kneel in urban streets, buildings will vary, but the church of Jesus Christ, is not confined. It's not confined to the four walls, the stained glass and the steeples, or the pews and the pulpit. The church of Jesus Christ is people, his people, of every race, every nation who love Christ and are committed to serving him. That's the church that we're talking about, beloved, the church of Jesus Christ. And that the church age, it began at Pentecost. We have read and shared with you out of the book of Acts, chapter 2. The church was born in Jerusalem. The church spread rapidly through the ministries of the apostles and the early believers. It was fanned by persecution. The gospel flame then spread to other cities and nations. And so as we see, Paul was on three courageous journeys. Paul and his co-laborers, Paul and his associates established local assemblies in scores of Gentile cities. And so one of the most prominent of these churches was in Ephesus. And it was established in A.D. 53, when Paul was really on his way home to Jerusalem. But he would return a year later on his third mission trip and stayed there for 3 years, teaching and preaching with great effectiveness. That's why you need to read the book of Acts, beloved. I encourage you. Read the book of Acts, the birth of the church, the Acts of the Apostles. And so at this time, that's when Paul met with the Ephesian elders, and he even sent Timothy to serve as their leader. So I want to give you a little background as Paul is speaking to us in this letter, in this epistle this morning. So as we look at verse 11, what were some of the office of authority and leadership that God placed, amen, not man, that God placed in the church in Ephesians 4:11? And so I read to you that he placed in the church some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers, beloved. That's what we see here in verse 11. And that, and what was the purpose of this fivefold ministry? What was the purpose that God placed this fivefold ministry? And it was for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Make us one, Lord. Make us one. See, our oneness in Christ does not destroy our individuality. Let me say that again. Our oneness, your oneness, my personal relationship with Jesus Christ is not destroyed when we come together as a body of Christ. So our oneness in Christ does not destroy our individuality. See, the Holy Spirit has given each Christian believer special gifts for building up the church. And now that we have these gifts, it is critical, it's vital to use them. I ask you this question, beloved. Are you spiritually mature, exercising the gifts God has given you? And if you don't know what your gifts are, look for opportunities to serve. If you don't know, ask God to show you. Perhaps with the help of a minister or your Christian friends, then you can begin to recognize your special area of service. Use your gifts to strengthen and to encourage. Use your strength to strengthen and to encourage the church of Jesus Christ. Who's the church of Jesus Christ? You are. We are the church of Jesus Christ. See, God has given his church. Hear what I said. His church. Jesus said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, beloved. The church is Jesus Christ's body. Amen. There's no man, no woman can take ownership to the church of Jesus Christ. And so God has given his church an enormous responsibility. And that responsibility, beloved, is to make disciples in every nation. That is our premise for the inline of the kingdom ingathering ministry. And this online church is to equip believers through true, authentic discipleship. That's right. To equip, prepare, train, activate, release believers of Jesus Christ through true, authentic discipleship. That was the charge that Jesus gave to the disciples. And we have that same charge today, beloved, to make disciples, to make learners, teachers, students, followers of Jesus Christ. So what does this require of us, beloved? What does this require the church to do? This involves preaching, teaching, healing, nourishing, giving, administrating, building, and other tasks. So if we had to fulfill this command as individuals, we might as well give up without trying, beloved. We might as well give up without trying. It would be impossible if we try to do all of this by ourselves as individuals. It would be impossible. But God calls us as members of his body. Amen. And some of us can do one task and some can do another. But together, beloved, together, make us one, Lord. Make us one as you are one with the Father. He and you and us, make us one. According to John 17, 20, and 21, make us one. See, together we can obey him more fully than any of us could alone. It is a human tendency to overestimate what we can do by ourselves and to underestimate what we can do as a group. Really, beloved, the truth is just the opposite. As the body of Christ, we can do more functioning together than we would dream possibly working by ourselves. That's right. Make us one, Lord. Make us one. And so that is the purpose of the fivefold ministry. As verse 13 said, unto a perfect man, to a perfect man, to a perfect man, to a perfect man is established. That's right, beloved, to the fullness. And this means that we all become full grown in the Lord, the body of Christ. Until we all come into the unity, that's important. Circle that, highlight that, underline the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature and fullness of Christ, until we all become full grown in Christ. Amen. That's what is taking place here, beloved. How long will these gifts operate in the church? Until we become fully grown in Christ. You and I, the body, becomes one. And when you think about some of the results of being a church where the five ministries are fully operating, this is very important right here. When we look at many of our local churches, our assemblies, that we are not fully operating with the gifts, the ascension gifts that Jesus Christ gave to the church. In most cases, we're operating three-fourths: the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher. And as we will do a teaching about the apostles and the prophets, because the church was founded on the doctrines, the teachings of the apostles. And so today in the 21st century, we are not fully operating with the fivefold ministry gifts. And I'm just here to say, beloved, what are we missing when we look at verse 14, where it says, henceforth, be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about every wind, every teaching, every doctrine, by the sleights of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And so, beloved, we have to look at verse 14 and see what are the results of being in a church where these five ministries, these fivefold ascension gifts are fully operating. Because verse 14 tells us what will happen is that you will be tossed to and fro. Every wind of doctrine. And so we know Christ is the truth, and the Holy Spirit who guides the church is the Spirit of truth. And the enemy, Satan, by contrast, is the father of lies. And as followers, as disciples of Christ, we must be committed to the truth. And this means both that our works will be honest and that our acts will reflect Christ's integrity. Speaking the truth in love is not always easy, convenient, or pleasant, but it's necessary if the church is going to do Christ's work in the world. Beloved, as we are coming to the close of the live broadcast, if you want to continue to listen in for the next 15 minutes, you can call our live number, 1-347-945-6272, as we continue offline for the next 15 minutes of talking about the importance of the spiritual and church development. We send blessings to those that are signing off, and you can pick up and listen to the continuation after our broadcast. But as we continue to look at Ephesians, this particular chapter of looking at the unity in the church, the unity in the body of Christ, that we are one body in Christ. And verse 16 tells us how the body of Christ is joined and held together. Let us read that again. Verse 16 says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In love, beloved, in love. See, some Christian believers fear that any mistake will destroy their witness for the Lord. They see their own weaknesses, and they know that many non-Christian believers seem to have stronger characters than they do. But how can they be new and different persons, holy and good? See, the good news is that Jesus Christ formed us into a body, into a group of believers who are united in their purpose and in their love for one another and for Christ. And if an individual stumbles, the rest of the group is there to pick them up and help them walk with his Lord again. And if an individual, beloved, sins, he can find restoration through the church. Look at Galatians 6:1. Even if the rest of the body continues to witness to God's truth. See, as part of Christ's body, you will reflect part of Christ's character and do part of his work. And as you grow to be more like him, you'll be able to better appreciate your brothers and your sisters in Christ, and without whom you could not adequately represent the Lord. Make us one, Lord. Make us one. Make us one. One in the body of Christ. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand by me. Stand with me. We are a part of God's body. That was a very popular song about 13 years ago. I think it's Hezekiah Walker. Play it. Google it. You will even get a greater blessing by hearing that song. And so as we look at the spiritual and the church leadership operate in our local assemblies, that operate in our local fellowships, that operate in our local church, in our local body of believers. So as we look at these spiritual ascension gifts, that we want the fullness of the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry and the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, that we would fully come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and that we all would reach full maturity in the Lord. See, the oneness of all believers, that we are one in the body, we are one in spirit, we're one in hope, we're one in the Lord, we're one in faith, we're one in baptism, and we're one in God. And that the believers, the fellowship of believers, which is the church of Jesus Christ, and that the Holy Spirit activates the fellowship, and that the glorious future to which we are all called, Christ, to whom we all belong to, and that our singular commitment and focus is to Jesus Christ, and that the oneness in baptism is the sign of the entrance into the church, beloved, that God, there's one God who is our Father and keeps us for eternity. So too often believers are separated because of minor differences in doctrine. But here Paul shows us and tells us and reminds us that those areas where Christians must agree to attain true unity, and when believers have this spirit of unity, our petty differences should never be allowed to dissolve that unity. Make us one, Lord, as we are one. Make us one, Lord, as you and the Father are one. We declare and we confess that we are one in Christ Jesus. So, beloved, as we look at the leadership in the body of Christ, in the local church, let us look at Titus, amen, the book of Titus, chapter 1, Titus chapter 1, and I want to read a couple of passages of scripture found in Titus chapter 1, verse 5 through 9, and then also we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Amen. Those are the two passages of scripture that we want to look at the local body of believers and leadership. Titus chapter 1, verse 5 through 9 says, for you're here. For this cause, lest I be in Crete, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city, as I have appointed thee. Amen. And then that is 1 Timothy chapter 3. Amen. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1. Let's go down to this is true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, valiant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, adapt to teach, not given to wine, nor striker, not greedy, filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, but one that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man knows not how to rule his own home, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he falleth in condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Amen, amen. And so, beloved, we see here that Titus was left in the church to appoint elders in the church. That's what local church elders were appointed. Amen. And that we have to understand the requirements or the qualification for eldership. Amen. And so those passages of scriptures, they teach about marriage, they teach about children, and they teach about home life. Amen. As the church leadership, the local leadership. And we even see, beloved, in 1 Peter, what Peter's exhortation to the elders. And I want to read that as well. 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter 5, verse 1 through 4. Amen. For your hearing. The elders which are among you, I exalt. Who am I? Who am also an elder and a witness to the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lord over God's heritage, but being ensampled to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. That's the word of God for the people of God. So here, beloved, we see Peter. We see Peter's exhortation to the elders. To the elders. Think in those terms, beloved. what is going on as the part of shepherding of God's people in the midst of crisis, in the midst of suffering. See, elders were church officers providing supervision, protection, disciple, instruction, and direction for the other believers. And see, elder simply means older. Both Greek and Jews were given position of great honor to wise older men. And the Christian church continued this pattern of leadership. Elders carried great responsibility, and they were expected to be good examples. Amen. And so we know Peter was one of Jesus' 12 disciples and was one of the three who saw Jesus' glory at the transfiguration. And so often the spokesman for the apostles, he witnessed Jesus' death, resurrection, and he preached at Pentecost and became a pillar of the Jerusalem church. But writing to the elders, he identified himself as a fellow elder, not a superior. He asked them to feed the flock of God, exactly what Jesus told him to do. And yes, we remember when Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me?" Three times. See, Peter was taking his own advice as he worked along with the other elders in caring for God's faithful people. And see, his identification with the elders is a powerful example of Christian leadership where authority is based on service, not power. Authority is based on service and not power as an elder, as a leader in the body of Christ, in your local church, in your local assembly, in your local fellowship. So Peter goes on to describe the characteristics of good leaders in the church, beloved, that they realize that they're caring for God's flock and not their own, that they lead not of an eagerness to serve and not, that they lead out of eagerness to serve and not out of obligation, and that they are concerned for what they can give and not for what they can get, and that they can lead by example and not force. And all of us lead others in some kind of way. You lead in your family, you lead at your place of employment, you lead in your community, you lead in your church, you lead, beloved, beyond among your family and your friends. All of us lead others in some kind of way. And whatever our role, our leadership should be in line with these characteristics, because the chief shepherd is Jesus Christ. The chief shepherd is Jesus Christ, and that he comes, and he's coming, his second coming, when he will judge all. And so, beloved, as we come to our close this morning, as we have highlighted the office and authority of leadership that God, Jesus Christ, placed in the church, according to Ephesians 4:11, that he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers, some pastors, for the equipping, for the edifying of the unity of faith, to do the work of Christ. And so that we know our purpose, we know God's plan, the position, and how the gifts are to operate in the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, that we would serve and that we are jointly fitted together in Christ Jesus. As we come to this close, that we know that if we are to make disciples in all nations, teaching them to observe all that Jesus Christ commanded us, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us one.